Oh, we're all bunkered down here. We've got Olympic fever. The swimmers got us off to a flyer wisp, and as a result of that, we've stayed engaged. It's the patriotic fever's running through us all, and what a great thrill it is for us to be talking now to Emily Seebohm-Munn. Gold in the 4x100 medley relay, bronze in the 100-metre backstroke at her fourth Olympic Games, if you don't mind. She joins us from quarantine for Tyre Power, your trusted tyre experts. Hey, Emily, welcome.
Good morning. How are we going?
We're going well. We want to congratulate you on an unbelievable performance, you and your team. It was, well, it was beyond our expectations, but did it live up and meet all of yours?
I think, like, we always go there, obviously, aiming for the best, and but we can never know what other people are doing. So I guess you always hope for the best, and whatever happens, happens. So I think as a team, we were just completely stoked by what happened. Like, there was no other word for it, but it was just amazing.
Emily, congratulations. It was a crazy sort of lead up to these games. Obviously, they're postponed from last year, this year, COVID stuff still around, quarantines, all that type of thing. How difficult was it to put all of that behind you as an athlete?
Yeah, it was pretty hard, because I think even leading into this year, we're like, oh, is it going to happen? Like, is it not going to happen? I think no one really believed it was happening until we were there. And then even when we got to Tokyo, there were still reports of, like, oh, it's going to get shut down. Like, we saw a couple of protests throughout Tokyo of people not wanting it there. And, yeah, it was just kind of like a crazy ride. But you have to kind of narrow in on what you're doing and stay focused on the goal, which was, you know, obviously doing the best in the pool.
And you did all that. The experience of being there in a pool setting like that without a crowd, as opposed to and other Olympics you've been, obviously the stands have been full of people. How different is that as an experience?
Yeah, very different. I think my, like, all our hearts bled a lot for Japan not being able to experience an Olympics. And you could see by people lining the streets, waving, holding signs. A few of the complexes were like open air stadiums, like the BMX and the skateboarding. So on the way back from the pool, we could see people like lining the streets, trying to get a glimpse of what it would be like in the stadium. So that was probably the hardest part about it. But for us swimming, like, I guess we just, as soon as we walk out on that pool deck, we're kind of so focused on what we're doing. You're not hearing too much externally. But, yeah, it is different not competing in a crowd, because, like, you can hear that roar throughout the whole stadium, like when you're warming up, when you're going to the marshalling room. So it was quite quiet, but it was just nice to be able to be there and to live our dream and for it to go ahead. That was the really great part about it.
Hey, Emily, we're talking to Emily Seebohm. Emily, we hear about, you know, what a great team this is. Who's the boss cocky of all this?
Cocky?
Yeah, the numero uno. Who's
top dog?
Yeah, the top dog there in your team. Who orchestrates this and dictates what goes on and makes sure that all the younger members are happy and comfortable and being nurtured, that type of thing?
I think the reason it does so well is there isn't someone that is doing that. I think everyone is an equal on our team, and that's how we see it. And we're all just there to help each other's performance and to make each other better. And I think that's why you can see so many good performers in the same event. I mean, you see it with Emma and Kate in the freestyle. You know, you see it with me and Kaylee in the backstroke. Like, we're there to make each other better and to push each other further in that race.
Beautiful moment when Kaylee McEwen asked you to share the podium with her on the 100-metre backstroke medal ceremony. Was that a surprise to you? Did she suggest to you that she might do that, or was it a spur-of-the-moment thing?
Before we went out for that medal ceremony, I actually asked Kaylee if I could present her with her gold medal. Obviously, due to COVID, no one can give you your medals, which is quite sad, but I actually train with Kaylee's sister, older sister Taylor, and I've been on the team with Taylor and Kaylee together. So I guess I just felt like I should do that for them, because I know, like, Taylor would have been kicking herself that she couldn't be here and to watch her sister do so amazing. So I just wanted to do something, you know, for Kaylee, for Taylor, so they had something that they could remember.
What about the rivalry with the US particularly? That's the one that we, you know, we're just supporters. We're barrackers. We're cheering. And when the American, I think it was Lily King, came out and said that they had a chance to win every single gold medal, was that motivation? How does that play out in the camp?
Well, Stephen, you don't really, we don't look at the media before we start racing. So we all stay pretty far away from it because mm-hmm. we have our own expectations and our own pressure that we deal with, and we don't need to add more to that. But yeah, it's interesting when you hear things like that they're saying, and it's just like there's no point saying anything because you can't control what anyone else is going to do in that race, and you have no idea what they've done or, you know, how well they've prepared. So yeah, it's always interesting when people say things like that when there's no point to say.
Emily, you've won six Olympic medals, 2 gold, 3 silver, 1 bronze. You've competed 4 Olympic Games. Paris is in 3 years now. Can you see yourself competing there?
Well, look, I do love the French. I love Paris. I think it's beautiful. I haven't ruled anything out because it is only 3 years, and coming off a 5 year like long slog, it's kind of nice to only think, oh, it's only like 3 years of that. Like, that's not too bad. So there's a lot coming up. We're assuming like we have Worlds next year as well as Com Games, and then the following year we'll have Worlds before Olympics again. So it's obviously going to be quite a busy season next year. So for me, it might be about having half of that year off and coming back towards the end half of that year, just so I can just kind of refresh a little bit. It's been such a long 5 years to get to this point that it's just like we've been on such a roller coaster of emotions. I just need to come back to earth a bit.
And by the time you get out of Howard Springs, it'll only be about a 12-month wait before Paris. So yeah. How is it? It must be an unbelievably strange experience to go to Howard Springs and be in quarantine after what you've been experiencing over there in Japan.
Yeah, I think this whole experience has just been like one first after another. We obviously have to leave Queensland very quickly before that lockdown to get to our camp in Cairns. So we actually left earlier than what we had planned to leave. And we left in, I think, 24 hours. I had to pack my stuff and get on a flight to Cairns. So that was crazy. And then obviously, we got to Cairns and we basically were living in a bubble in Cairns where we couldn't go out and do stuff. We had to stay in the hotel and we couldn't go to shops or anything like that. And then, you know, we got to Tokyo and we're wearing masks 24/7. Mm-hmm. We're not talking really to any other people or any other sports. We're not hanging out. It was just, yeah, quite a different experience. So it's nice to actually, it is really nice to be in Howard Springs just to like refresh a bit. Like I need to catch up on that much sleep. Like I'll be sleeping the entire 2 weeks that I'm here. But yeah, it is nice to be here though, because it gives us all a chance to just refresh and just have a look at what's happened, reflect on where we've been, on what we've done. Like we don't really get that opportunity. Like normally when we come home, it's like busy, 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 and it takes you 6 months to actually realize what you've done and what's happened.
Emily, you just should be so very proud of yourself and your team and your teammates, because we all are, the Australian public got right behind you, the swimming team, as we always do, our whole Australian team. It's been a great joy. Can I just quickly ask one question? The pronunciation of your name, we go with C-bomb. I've had a message come through suggesting it may be C-bohm. Is that right or not?
Yeah, it is. But when I was younger, everyone kept getting it wrong. So right. I just said one thing and it stuck with everyone. And I mean, it's on my Instagram and my Twitter and my Facebook and whatever. So, like, I go with that now instead of the proper
We can
way
change
to
that.
Say it.
We're happy to change. Yeah. We can lead the charge for the correct pronunciation because we're sticklers on this program.
Well, see, I don't mind it. But if you ask my dad, it's a different story.
Yeah. Okay. Have you washed Kaylee's mouth out with soap yet?
That's not my job.
No, that is not your job. But your job is to go and represent the country in the best light possible. And you've been doing that for a long, long time. And it's been a great joy to talk to you this morning. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Emily C. Bohm there, 4-time Olympian wisp. I think it's incumbent upon us to get it right.
That's right. There's a correct pronunciation. You like Gary with
Leon?
You like Gary?
I like Leon, please.
You like
from now on?
You like a double R in your name, don't you?
I like Leon.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Gary Leon.